Hey, church, how you doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Y'all doing a little better than when you came in? Amen. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us worshiping God and praising His name. I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. I won't stop saying it. There's no place I'd rather be than one of our four locations worshiping God and praising His name. There's no better place this side of heaven. Heaven's better. I'm just letting you know. I haven't been there yet, but I'm looking forward to going. I'm not in a rush, but I'm excited to get there one day. And excited to take as many people as possible. You excited for that? All right, we'll see. We'll see. After today's message, we'll see how excited you truly are. I'm just messing with you. Listen, we're continuing our series today entitled True Riches. And we're unpacking what true riches really are. And it actually has nothing to do with what's being burned on the screen. We think true riches has everything to do with our money. And it doesn't. It has everything to do with money, what money can't buy. And we're going to take a couple moments here and we're going to pause. And we get to talk about a few things that I'm really excited about. First and foremost, this past Friday, we had the opportunity to recognize Veterans Day. And we're going to take a moment right now and we're going to recognize it here because it's important. We love honoring people at Bridge City Church. So if you're in this room, I know you don't like doing it, but we like doing it because it's important. If you're in this room and you're a veteran, you've served in any branch of our armed forces, could you please stand to your feet for us, please? If you could stay standing, we just want to speak a blessing over you and over your families and over those that are currently serving or have served and have paid the ultimate sacrifice. Father God, I thank you so much for these individuals, for their families. God, I thank you so much for the sacrifice that they made. God, I thank you for the fact that they paid a sacrifice and gave so much to serve. Lord, I thank you for their servants' hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless them and bless their families. Lord, help them to understand who they are as sons and daughters of yours. God, I pray that every day of their life that they would grow closer to you in every single way. Lord, I pray for those that have served alongside them and their families. Lord, may they be blessed also. If they don't know you, may they come to know you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be a part of this nation. Lord, may each and every one of us be reminded that we are yours first. We are a part of your kingdom first, and we are American second. Lord, that we are submitted to you first. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that it is to be where you've placed us. Lord, I pray that every single one of us would never take for granted the opportunities that we have because of those that have sacrificed around us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much again. Give them a round of applause. Church, we're talking about true riches, and one of the true riches that I believe that we have as being a part of the church is community. Man, that prayer time was great. We don't have an air conditioning system powerful enough to cool down what the Holy Spirit just did in here. Anybody else hot? Whew. Some people still have beanies on. Who said no? Jess said no, but I would like to point out that she has a sweat towel up here. I do not have a backup. This is not true. One of the true riches we have is to be in community with each other. We get to be in community. And we're talking about true riches. So, I'm going to start with our launching verse that we're going to use every single week, and it's Luke 16:11. It says, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Now, we read this verse, and naturally, we always think about money. But there's not going to be money in heaven. But we have to be trusted with worldly wealth to experience the things of heaven here. Now, what are some of the things that we want to experience here that we'll experience in heaven? I want to experience Jesus' presence fully. I want us to experience his peace here on earth fully. I want us to experience his power and his provision and his protection here on earth fully. And what is the result of all of those things? His joy. Listen, his joy is contagious. If any of you thought that COVID was the most contagious thing to hit the world in history, it's not. Jesus' joy is the most contagious thing that has ever hit anything. It is crazy how contagious the joy of Jesus is. And people don't even need to know that it's Jesus until they ask. People will just recognize it by the way you carry yourself, by the way you conduct your life. So here we go. Here's one of the true riches that we get to walk out as the church. You ready? Nobody's ready? All right, Maria, shut it down. Shut it down. They're like the dream team back there. They're so great. Give them a round of applause. They're so good. But I hope the screen turns back on. No, I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. Here's one of the true riches. Christmas. Here at the White Oak Campus, it's a big deal. We have our Christmas candlelight worship time. We always have it on December 23rd. Christmas Eve, We fill this place. Candles everywhere. Wax dumped all over the place. People love it. We love cleaning up all the wax. I'm being facetious. But we do. We fill this place up, and people invite people, and it's a joyful time of year because we get to share the light of the world with people. We're changing it up this year. You know why? We want room for more. We didn't want to have four candlelight worship experiences here at the White Oak Campus. Because I want people to be together. I want families to meet other families. I want there to be more than enough space for people to meet people and sit next to their families and sit next to their friends. And for the joy of all of the people to be so contagious that you can't help but catch it. Gather all these people in a room, you're going to catch it. So, on December 21st, we're all going to gather at McKeesport Area School District's auditorium. There's 1,056 seats, brand new seats, and we're going to fill them all. Did you hear what I said? We're going to fill them all. Because there's a community that needs Jesus. There's a community that needs to experience the light of the world. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can't light fire in a school. You cannot. It's not allowed. It's very frowned upon. It's against the rules. We're not going to break the rules, Jeremy. We're going to have little LED candles. We're going to do something creative. But every person that walks into that place is either going to have the light of the world living within them, or they're going to have it when they walk out. Okay? So, how do I know this is God? Because when I went there to with our campus admin to confirm it, the bell rang and the students flood the hallways, teachers flooded the hallways, and that's our harvest field. Right there in front of us, that was our harvest field. That's who we're praying for. That's who we're believing for. And the school's going to let us go in there and flood that place with the presence of Jesus for pennies. We're going to invite like we've never invited before. And we're going to share the true riches of heaven. And we're going to have people understand that the result of those things is joy. Amen? I believe that every single disciple can obtain true riches when they grow in grace, giving, and generosity. It doesn't stop. We can receive these things when we grow in grace, in giving, and in generosity. Those three things. The G's. Lots of G's lately. We gather, we grow, we give, and we go, all for the glory of God. We can grow in our grace, in our giving, and our generosity. This is great. You see what I did there? I wish I could have thought of another G word right there, but I couldn't. Couldn't do it. True riches can be obtained by every disciple if you grow in your grace, your giving, your generosity. How are we going to do that? Together. We're going to do that together. Constantly growing in grace and giving and generosity. Church, we're all moving forward in our walks. A lot of people come to me, Pastor, why are we talking about this? Why are we doing a series on true riches? Why are you talking about money? Well, here we go. Jesus talked more about money and finances than he did about heaven and hell. Get your attention. It gets your attention if you think about that. And then they come to me and say, Pastor, what, is the church not doing good? Are you not getting a paycheck? You okay? Is Lennon eating ramen? Nothing's wrong with ramen. I love ramen, and I'm one of the best ramen chefs in the world. Test me in that. I throw down. You know, they make the gold ramen now. It doesn't come with a seasoning packet. It's a sauce. Yeah, better noodles, too. You don't even need the seasoning packet, though, when you come to my house because I make my own. It's all about the broth. Anyways, church is doing great. Better than we've ever seen. God is amazing. You're the most generous, cheerful group of people in the world. We're doing this because this is a part of spiritual growth. Every single year we do this. This is a part of discipleship. We would be failing as a church and as pastors if we didn't speak about this. We would be missing a huge portion of Jesus' teachings if we didn't speak about this. But these are the ones that people remember because these are the ones that hit our heart. And they hurt. There's three conversions in a man's life. Martin Luther, a very, very influential man in church history, said this. There's our heart, there's our mind, and then our money and finances. God hits your heart, changes and transforms your heart. You fall in love with him. I'm starting to get chilly now. You guys cold? I was just messing with y'all. Now, you could turn it. It hasn't stopped running. It won't stop running. You could turn it off for a little bit, Randy. Your wife's going to kill us. No fires in buildings. Second thing that changes your mind. Now, God doesn't just change your mind on little things. He changes your mind on your traditions and the things that you got stuck in growing up. I like to call this the Mon Valley spirit. The Mon Valley mentality. What is that, Pastor Nick? That's the keeping up with the Joneses mentality. I'll never have enough, I'll never measure up, and I gotta always keep up with the Joneses. Any Joneses in the room today? I ask this every time I make this statement, because I'm gonna meet the Joneses one day and tell them, I've been trying to keep up with you for years, but not no more. Does anybody know the Joneses? Yeah, Randy, tell them, I ain't keeping up with them no more. My mind has been changed and transformed by Jesus. But we could all live there. We all live in that mentality. The third thing that changes is our money and our finances when we recognize that none of it's ours to begin with. None of it. None of it is ours. So let's pick up in our text that's going to be our text that we spend all of our time in today. Except for when we go out of it and go to a different text, which I reserve the right to do. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 2. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. Everybody say Macedonia. Come on, like you mean it. There we go. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Well, this sounds like a fun, encouraging message, doesn't it? Now listen, this is what Paul's doing here. Paul is taking Macedonia and he is making the church in Corinth compete a little bit. Who likes a little healthy competition every once in a while? I'm good with it. I'm cool with it. I'm not a hugely competitive person, but I like to win. I don't like to lose, but I'm okay with losing if it causes you to get better. Losing can be good sometimes if it causes you to grow. Now here we are, Macedonia, northern Greece, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. These churches were persecuted since they started. They were born in the struggle. Sound a little bit like the Mon Valley? We came out of the dirt. Come on, California dreaming in a mill town. Some of you know what that's from. Childhood friend wrote a song all about the Mon Valley spirit. But this is Macedonia. They were born in the struggle. They were stuck there. Corinth was located in the south. A little nicer weather. They're probably eating grits and shrimp. Shrimp and grits. You got to say it right. Those southerners will shoot you. You don't do things right when it comes to the food. They're eating pecan pie. I say pecan. Some say pecan. Tomato, tomato. They probably had a mean barbecue. They're drinking sweet tea. Sugar water. Just paint a picture for you. These two places are rivals. Okay? And Paul is helping them understand that a little healthy competition is not bad. Paul's clearly saying that those people in Cleveland are out giving you Pittsburghers. Okay? Let's put it in perspective. Paul was using one campus against each other. They're part of the same church. The big church. Big C. Universal Church. Paul was comparing them. Now, there's three things that the Macedonians that we want to recognize. And the equation that we put together here, really, it doesn't make sense. But here we go. Tested in affliction, extreme poverty, you add in abundant joy, and what does it equal? Overflowing with generosity. The equation doesn't make sense, but God. from a worldly perspective, it doesn't make sense, but God. If we get stuck in our own stuff, we'll be stuck in the test instead of focusing on God. If we get stuck in our own stuff, we get stuck in the affliction, except we should be focused on God. If we get stuck in our Mon Valley spirit, we get stuck in a poverty mindset instead of God. But if we're living in the things of God, we live in abundant joy and overflowing generosity is the result. The people of Macedonia, literally, some of them had nothing, and they're overflowing with generosity and abundant joy is what they're being bragged about to the church in Corinth. I don't know about you, but years from now, I want Bridge City Church, all four campuses, to be talked about. Those people were generous. They were over the top, abundantly joyful. Let me tell you about this one time in December of 2022. They filled a high school auditorium, and it was just overflowing with joy. It was abundantly evident that Jesus was present, and that community was changed. Imagine if that's the story that's told 40 years from now. I'll be gone. Maybe not. How old? I'll probably still be here. I wrote my obituary. I died at 86. I did. You want to talk about having faith and vision? Write your obituary. Write it now. Most of the things I put in there have come to pass, except for a few, and we're going to see them come. Seriously, start praying. I want to speak to just the White Oak campus right now. I believe that Our generosity is amazing. Some of the most generous people in the world. And our steps forward in giving have nothing to do with a lack of faith. Nothing to do with that. But fear is real. Fear is real. And we, because of where we grew up, and not necessarily where we're living currently, some of us have grown up and moved out and moved away and moved to different areas, but what you grew up in still rings true and can still be activated at the drop of a hat. This signified a drop of a hat, by the way. That snap signified a drop of a hat. But you can go back to fear real quick. I'll never have enough. I'll never measure up. I'll never be able to get by. That mentality stifles our area. You may not have grown up in it, but you grew up around it. And it's contagious just as much as joy is. We're going to pray against that fear. We're going to speak against it. We're going to overcome it. Because I do not, and we do not have a spirit of fear, but we're overcomers. Not because of anything that you've done or anything that I've done or anything that we've done. It's all because of what he's done and he's doing. More than two people should clap for what Jesus has done. I haven't done it in a long time, but I'm going to pull Sean Collins. I'm preaching way better than you're responding. Verses 3 through 5, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Verse 3, we give first according to our means and our ability. Now here we go. I want you to catch this. We all have the same commitment in giving at Bridge City Church. Why did I say that so slowly and say I want you to catch it? Because of where we are and how we've been raised and the traditions that have happened around us, we can get stuck in comparing ourselves to everyone else and thinking, I don't make as much as that person. My giving doesn't matter. We all have the same commitment. We don't all give the same amount, but we all have the same commitment. But we get stuck in comparison instead of commitment. See what I'm saying? Comparison will keep you trapped. Commitment will make you move forward. Show me a committed person, and I'll show you movement and fruit. You ever hear the saying, show me someone's friends and I'll show you their future? Show me someone's commitment level, and I'll show you where they're going. If you're not committed and you're stuck in comparing, you're going to stay stuck. People gave on their own accord. They just started doing it. Generosity starts because they decided to be committed. It's a process, and they moved through the process. I felt like Mike Tomlin there for a second. It's a process. We're progressing. We're progressing through the process. It is what it is. We're prepared. It's a preparation. Christian giving is not according to quantity, but according to sacrifice. Let me explain that. We don't all give the same amount, but we should all sacrifice the same. It's not about the amount, it's about the sacrifice and the heart behind it. In verse 4, we saw the process by which the Macedonian people gave, according to their means, above their means, by their own accord, and enthusiastically. Enthusiastically, over the top. You know, we make giving so simple and easy in 2022, and by we, I mean the church, the big church. You can text, you can carry your pigeon, you can email, you can snail mail, you can basket, you can pretty much do anything. Kiosk. What's that old thing? You could probably do that at some churches. Carbon copy giving. Any way possible, you can do it. But what if, I said it last, what if we put the giving basket and the only way you could give was if it was on the top of that hill over there? And we had to climb up that hill every single week and get muddy. How many of us would joyfully do it? Enthusiastically go up that hill. Take that mountain every single week to give our offering. Now, some of us would have to help others out. But how many of us would do it? It's a question we have to ask. Verse 6 and 7, accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. To excel in grace, we first have to understand what it is. So what is grace? It's undeserved, unearned, unmerited, completely. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. Grace is what empowers us to accomplish God's will in our life. So, if we're called to grow in God's grace, we should understand that grace empowers us to do everything in our life. It empowers us to be able to obey him, to obey what he's called us to do. It empowers us to grow in every area of our life, including our giving. So what does it look like to have grace-empowered giving? To make sure that you take your next step, grace towards generous giving. Here we go. We're all in one of these portions that's on this screen right now. Or you're off the screen and we're hoping and praying and believing that you get on the screen. Occasional givers. I give to Bridge City Church, but not consistently. Consistent givers. I give regularly to Bridge City Church, but less than 10%. I'm a tither. I give 10% of my income to Bridge City Church. And last but certainly not least, a generous, over-the-top giver. I give offerings over and significantly above my tithes and offerings to Bridge City Church. Four different steps. We're believing and praying that we all take a step forward in consistency, in commitment, in the grace of God. It takes faith to do so. It takes trust to do so. It takes overcoming fear to do so. Church, I want to let you know that it is amazing to be a part of Bridge City Church and to see what God is doing. It's amazing. I'm believing for the day that we as the church don't get to be at McKeesport Area High School for our candlelight worship experience because we have our own location that has 1,056 seats that we can invite people to. I'm believing for that day. And because of the generous givers of Bridge City Church, we're planning and preparing to do that as part of our One Vision campaign. And so far to date, we've received $540,000 of the $1.5+ million that was committed. That's amazing. You're a part of a generous, over-the-top church because of people taking steps forward. Verses 6 through 8, the point is this. I love that. I love when it's so clear. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. The point is this. Catch this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. I love when verses say all again and again and again and again. You know why? Because I'm a smart man and I know that all means all. That means that God is not holding back. God is not a God that holds back. Because when he uses the word all, it's all. Everything he got. But we don't give to get. We give according to the grace in our lives. But as we handle worldly wealth, we get what money can't buy. You can't buy the things we're talking about. You can't buy joy. You can't buy peace. You can't buy justification. You can't buy righteousness. You can't buy sanctification. You can't buy these things. You can't buy sonship. You can't buy a position at the table in eternity with your Savior. You can try. So how do we grow in generosity? We ask these questions. What do I have? What can I give up? And what can I believe God for? That's where faith lives. I have a quote from a mother I want to share with you. Her name is Teresa. Some of you may have heard of her. It's all about the setup. You notice that? If you give what you don't need, it isn't giving. Let me share an example of this. It's perfect. I love when illustrations just throw themselves at you. Kevin and I were at a wedding yesterday. He wasn't my plus one. I DJ weddings as a job. Jesus loved weddings. I love weddings. So I'll explain more of that if you'd like. But Kevin was working with me, and he so generously offered his shrimp to me. He had three giant shrimp. He's like, "You want these?" I was like, "Yeah, man, yeah." And later on, he was like, "I gave you the shrimp, remember?" Like almost like boastfully bragging about it. Like he sacrificed these delicious shrimp. I looked at him. I was like, "Kevin, you hate shrimp, and you wouldn't have ate those if you were tied down and someone forced you." I was like, that's not giving. He's like, "Another man's garbage is another man's treasure." And I knew this quote was in the message today. I was going to tell him right there, but I was like, "No, I'm going to surprise him tomorrow." If you give what you don't need, it isn't giving. It's all about the heart. Don't give your leftovers. We traded. I gave him my steak, part of my steak. I took one bite. We traded. It was an even trade. But I didn't want the steak either, so I gave away something I didn't want either. So we were both guilty of giving away something we don't need. But it's all about the heart. We're going to start to land the plane here. Ironic that our wedding was at the airport, and I'm landing the plane now. It's amazing how God works. We're going to land the plane. Malachi 3. I don't know what you're thinking. Here we go. We're going to talk more about tithing. These verses are about tithing for the most part, but it's not about tithing. I want to talk about heaven. These next verses, I want to talk all about heaven. That's all I want to talk about. And it reads, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. For the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, 'How shall we return?' One of the true riches that we get to experience in God's kingdom is His presence. I don't want to miss out on God's presence. I don't want us to ever miss out on God's presence. That's one of the things that we got to experience and get to experience every time we worship together, every time we pray together, every time we gather together is God's presence. Listen, God doesn't change. He'll never change. He doesn't need to change. And God is saying, just return to me in everything. In generosity, in heart, in focus, in purpose, in dedication, in commitment. Verse 8, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And he answers, in your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need. True riches of heaven, protection and the power of God, blessings. What does it mean to be blessed? It means to have a supernatural power working for you. I want God to have my back. I really do. I want to walk with a Holy Spirit swagger, knowing that the King of the world, I'm his son. I walk around knowing that I'm a king's kid. You think Harry and what's the other one's name? William? Markle, what's her name? Come on, I know you know all the royals, Jess. Just can you whisper them? What are the royals' names? Their wives. Huh? Megan and Katie? Kate? They walk with a swagger now because they're royals. What are they, princesses? I'm a king's kid. You're a king's kid. They should roll red carpets out for us when we go to Wendy's. If you were even allowed in there anymore. Can't even get into that place. Do they know we're king's kids? Open the doors. Swing wide Taco Bell's doors. We are here for lunch now. There's a blessing that follows, but no, there's also, there could be a curse. A supernatural power working against you. The enemy's real. And you say, well, how can God curse me? God didn't curse you. God doesn't curse us. We decide to live there. We can either live in the blessing or we can live in the curse. It's our choice. Just like the prodigal son, you can either live in the king's house or you can live in the poop. You can live with the pigs or you can live with your dad. One or the other. We choose where we live. Poop. Dad's house. Verse 11 and 12. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. True riches provide provision and protection. Church, that's where I want us to live. I want us to live in the provision and the protection of God. And we get there when we're living fully in the generosity and the grace of God. We get to give to God. We get to return to Him what's rightfully His. We get to receive all these riches of heaven. We get to walk in the provision and protection. Your friends will see the blessings in your life and they will call you blessed. They'll look at your life and say, how is it so fruitful? How are you living in so much joy? I got to share an illustration of this. You ready? I've been really committed over the last 7 years. 7 years. Commitment over seven. It took me 7 years. My dream is to have a lawn in my backyard that when you look at it, the first thing you want to do is take your shoes off and just frolic through it. 7 years it's taken me. I don't have a lot of money, right? So I've done this by hand. I aerated it this year by hand. Two holes at a time. If you don't know what aerating is, it's hard labor. Two holes at a time. Hand spreaded seed, dethatched it with a rake. Finally, after 7 years, I go out on my back porch the other day. My grass is so green. It looks like the promised land in the Lion King. I'm serious. It looks like the promised land. And all the other yards that I can see look like the land that you're not allowed to go. Maria, it's true. Your yard's looking rough. But you're moving. You're moving in a month. It's okay. Your yard's rough. It is. Commitment. Commitment. And protection and provision will follow. Church, can you stand to your feet with me? I just want to pray a blessing. Here's how it starts. If you don't have a day, a time, a place, a moment where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where the protection and the provision starts. That's where it starts. If you don't have that day, if you don't have that time, if you don't have that place, I want today to be your day. If you could just slip your hand up so we could pray with you. Just slip your hand up. Say, that's me, Pastor. I just need a day. I need a time. I need a place. Anyone at all. Today. November 13th, 2022. Father God, I thank you for these people. I thank you for who they are. I thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to do. Lord, I pray that we would all grow, that we would all take a step forward, that as we stand, we are saying that we're going to move forward. We're standing in agreement that we are going to stand up against fear in our area. We're going to stand up against the Mon Valley mentality. We're going to stand up against the fact that the Joneses aren't going to be who we compare ourselves to anymore. We're standing up against fear with faith. We're going to take a step forward in Jesus' name. And everybody said as they took their seat, amen.